This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
On the latest emerging podcast scene brought to you by Extend Technologies, we get into some nitty-gritty college football and why one big matchup this weekend, not as big as it should be.
And can you take a vacation as president? I know I wouldn't. It's the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra. On 92.3 The Fan Extra.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
Where are the topics for Mitch? We're brought to you by Extend.
Where are the topics?
He was supposed to print them out.
All right, so I have one topic.
Now I have to go get the topics that I wrote.
I have a topic, Kenny.
Please, go.
Because you did mention
issue one.
It was an offhanded remark. I'll talk issue one if you'd like, but I don't think you'd want to.
Speaking about that.
I do believe you made a throwaway reference.
Making a
to Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
And
Yes, I love this. Thank you.
And you made,
thank you.
A throwaway reference that you thought, in actuality, had she have just gone to the championship and won it all or whatever, it would have totally made the league look terrible.
Yep. What this year has done. And her team, they got swept, right?
Yeah.
By Connecticut.
That's the three.
Her playing so well.
Yes, they lost
her
two
playing
of them.
So well. I want to commend what has been done for by the WNBA to me. I have a conspiracy theory as well later, but I've paid closer attention to the WNBA, and I got to tell you, ever since football season has started, some of the interest has waned. It's just natural. It's going to happen. But what the WNBA taught me is how difficult and elite the league is. And I mean that sincerely. Because, like, Angel Reese came in, and Angel Reese is a great college basketball player. She will need more development over time, but she is a pretty good WNBA player. But she is nowhere near in the stratosphere of some of the best in the WNBA. These are things I did not know until I watched the WNBA. Ignorance, clearly. I didn't watch any of it. I'm watching baseball or whatever. I hadn't had interest in the WNBA in many, many years. The other thing
now
is...
Now we're fighting for a team.
True. And the other thing is, you know, you see Caitlin Clark's stats, and they're comparable to Michael Jordan the first time that they were in the postseason. Really, they are. And
I'll take Caitlin Clark.
And... it shows you just how elite the league is. Like, if she would have came in and just blown everybody's doors off and won the WNBA championship, it's like, man, really make the rest of the league look like, what have you guys been doing for 20-plus years?
Yeah, we were told that the league was getting better, yeah. It was evolving, and then what, this girl comes in and she's so much better than everybody
and
instantly?
It shows it's a team sport. She's a great player. She is going to... She will serve history. I think she's going to be the biggest name. I think she's going to be the LeBron James of what she does and will change the way we look at the sport. From outsider's perspective, not people who already love women's basketball or love basketball in general. That all being put out there, I do have a little bit of a conspiracy theory as well. Something that happened over the weekend that we didn't talk about because of the Brown stuff was the WNBA, as they're starting their basketball playoffs, had their graphic of who's in the playoffs and who's not, right? And when they had the Fever shown, it was not Caitlin Clark. Who was it?
I think it was Kelsey Mitchell.
Okay. It was not Caitlin Clark. And the internet freaked out. And I'm going, you know what? It's genius. conspiracy theory time. Had Caitlin Clark just been on that poster or on that graphic, would have moved on with your day. And it would have been consumed by WNBA fans. The WNBA has no problem being the bad guy. No problem. As long as you're watching and filling up their arenas, which we did at record levels this year, they have no problem being that way. It's the same thing. People cuss out Roger Goodell. He laughs all the way to the bank. As long as you're not ripping on players, which you do, as long as you're consuming the product, which they are, and they're consuming the WNBA. So they go, you guys are allergic to making money. You won't put Caitlin Clark out there. And I go, man, my first thought is, man, does the league really not like her? Are they really jealous or whatever? I go, no. Here I am, a regular guy. I'm getting ready for a Brown Sunday, and I'm reading commentary about Caitlin Clark not being in the WNBA graphic for the postseason. Many of us might have forgot that she was going to the postseason. Remember, at the beginning of the year, they had the number one overall pick last year. They weren't good last season. She's been able to, and they started off rough this year. Those are the games I watched. Then I go away. Then all of a sudden, I'm seeing postseason games. I think it works.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Maybe they do feel that way, and this conspiracy theory isn't true, but I'm going, man, dumb like what? Dumb like a fox. Well, this is great.
We're so used to all these marketing arms of the professional sports, especially with ESPN. We're so used to them never missing an opportunity to blow up, you know, whatever athlete. You know, for years, this is what we said. Oh, baseball doesn't do a good job of marketing their stars. And I've had differences of opinion with that. I'm like, I just think people aren't as interested as much. It's not about the stars. People just like their local teams and that's it. But in the NBA and in the NFL, they market the stars. Yeah. And yes, the NFL also markets its teams. People in the NBA, like the casual fan, doesn't really care about teams. They care about the stars. So the NBA is always going to be, especially big game this week, TNT. Let's put them up. LeBron James, Steph Curry. Doesn't matter if they're under 500. Like, that's all we're going to talk about are those players. So you would just assume that the WNBA would follow suit. I will also say this, because I think it's an interesting theory that you presented. Kenny, I think in a way this worked out for Caitlin Clark. She was bad to start out. A, she didn't get any rest. Remember, she ended her season, her college career in Cleveland, and then gets drafted the next day. Was it the next day she was drafted?
Yeah.
And then she immediately has to be in Indianapolis. And then less than a month later, they're practicing. And then they're playing in games. Like, she really had no rest whatsoever. So it stands to reason she was going to struggle. She really struggled with a lot of stuff. Adapting to teammates. Remember, her passes were a little too good for those teammates at first, and they lost a bunch of games, and she had some horrific, horrific nights. And it was like, oh my God, is she going to be really bad? And then she flipped the switch.
Yeah.
She became like, I don't know if top five, but top 10 player in the league. And it was incredible. Like, I'm not going to lie and say it was appointment viewing. I'm not going to lie. I know there are people who make it sound like they changed their viewing habits.
I tell you what, I would rather.
I saw highlights. I checked out YouTube highlights. I did.
Yeah, I would rather watch that than a lot of the other sports that were going on, and I did. I wasn't watching them over the Guardians, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've documented all the games I'm watching, but I would have rather watched that, and I did. It was I hope it carries over. I am more, you know, I'm interested in Juju Watkins now in the future. It's not, you know, my product ladder honestly goes NFL, college football. I would say WNBA/Major League Baseball very closely. NASCAR is starting to fall, I hate to admit. And auto racing is still there, but NASCAR is starting to falter a little bit. And I can explain why at another time. It's still not like, okay, NFL, then women's basketball. And I probably never will be, but I'm watching it. I'm not flipping off for something else. I'm watching the game. And that's what's neat.
I'll tell you what I definitely watch less of this year. I don't know why I was watching it to begin with, but stuff like the TBT and the Big 33 or whatever it is.
Oh, I wanted to fight you tooth and nail over the TBT. The Big 3.
But I didn't watch that stuff this year. And
I know. I was disappointed. I didn't get to argue with you because I would have won the argument.
Maybe it's not necessarily because I just didn't watch, because I watched a ton of WNBA. But I think I'm probably done with the TBT. It was cool at first because it had a bunch of the Ohio State guys.
Yeah.
You know, the guys that I loved. It had Sullinger, it had Kraft, it had Diebler. And now all these years later, Sullinger was on the team, barely recognizable. And then there were a bunch of guys that didn't play for Ohio State, or if they did play for Ohio State. So
yeah.
I think I'm kind of done with it. It was a neat thing, you know, winner take all and elimination, but yeah, I just didn't care about team anymore because it wasn't Ohio State guys, or it wasn't all Ohio State guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Summer's tough, man. It's tough to really be all in, especially in the daytime on the weekends. It's nice weather. You want to go outside. You want to go do things.
I don't know. I'm starting to go back to a bad place. Let me just say this, and you guys can move on at any time. I'm starting to go to a real bad place with NASCAR again, and I don't like it because there was a time where I almost gave up on it. You know, I was watching it, but I was dissatisfied with the product. And I think I'm doing that, but I think I'm only going by hearsay because I'm not watching the races because the races start at 3:30 in the afternoon. Well, I'm not going to watch them during football season. Naturally, football season starts, my race and watching ends. It just does.
A lot of people.
And I've always been critical of them. Like, hey, man, I consume your product, and I'm a football guy. Like, and you're in the Southeast.
You'll pay attention to who won, and you'll go back if there's a wreck at the end or whatever. You'll go back and watch,
well,
right?
Well, they've shown replays, and I've watched the replays before. But I'll listen to Dale Jr. and stuff like that, but I'm not consuming it the way I would. And I think that some of the things that I was excited for the change, I don't think they got right. And I think that they're trying to do too much at sometimes. And then again, the start time, my lifestyle just does not coincide with the start time of those races. It's 3:30 in the afternoon in the middle of June.
How long do they take?
They're not as long as they used to be. They're not. They've shortened a lot of the 500s to 400 mile races. And they're seemingly not taking as long. There seems to be less cautions, but probably people will show me that there's more. But again, that's a whole different theory. It's just, man, with my kids and everything that goes on, I'm expected during the good winter. I barely get to see them. Like, yesterday, I leave at 4. I don't get home until 9. 4 a.m., 9 at night. So, in the summer, like, I'm spending a lot of time with them.
And you got to watch Major League.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sitting there in front of a TV watching NASCAR. I might take them to a race at some point, but still, it's kind of early, and I don't know if Axel would sit there through a whole race or whatever, and he'd have to if we went. So he probably would. But
did you see, by the way, the Michigan USC TV rating?
Was it huge or low?
Oh, this show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Okay, it was really big, and it felt low to me.
Really?
I don't know why. It said it was the largest CBS Week 4 college football audience in 10 years.
Whoa!
So that's big.
That is big.
It was 6.3 million viewers, which is basically, that's World Series viewership right now. I mean, that's what that is. That's World Series viewership. And it got 6.3. I don't know. I for some odd reason, I thought it hit like 10, because how cool to see those schools on the same field at the Big House, those colors. Both teams are good. What? I know Michigan did lose a game already, so maybe that took away some of the viewership. But man, college football alive and well, and we can lament all the differences
That's a really great number. I don't know why you thought it'd
I just thought it'd be higher. Wow. I don't know why. Because everybody in my world paid attention to that game. So you get in your bubble and you're like, well, if everybody I know watched it, it's got to be 10 million people. No, it's not really how it works. Still a huge number. And CBS, which has had pretty damn big college football games. Now, what time was that game on? 3:30?
3:30.
I mean, 3:30 is the window for the SEC on CBS over the years.
Yeah.
So pretty miraculous. I guess I'm totally off on that. But isn't that amazing that we sit here and we talk about the UNLV kid? We talk about NIL. A lot of the coaches left college football and said, we don't want to deal with this. So you're losing legendary coaches. You don't know what quarterback is going to be on which team, which year. You're paying attention more to the collectives than you are sometimes some of the teams. And yet, at the end of it, still massive college football viewership.
But I also think that's why you lost some of your interest in talking about conference realignment. Like, I wanted to bring up the four-team takeover of the Mountain West, where they went to the Pac-12, and you went, why do I care? Like, you weren't trying to be nasty about it, and I'm like, I don't know. You completely flummoxed me. That takes away some of it, because you just don't care, because right now, I keep thinking about all these bad things that can happen, and none of them do. They still kick off, and people still watch. And I got to tell you, man, it is really cool to see Michigan and USC in the same conference. And it's like, man, like, they can't take every Big Ten team. This matters. This is a big win. This is a big game. They got to have this. And, like, even going into this weekend, like, is it Louisville and Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Notre Dame's got to have it.
Yeah.
Got to have it. They'll start talking about Freeman's job this weekend if they lose this game. But that's an independent. I mean, I'm talking about big time stuff here. Like, this was a big win last week for Sharon Moore, and it's like, well, you still have Oregon on the schedule, and if you can't get your offense going, you won't be able to score with them. That's why I was saying what I was saying about Ohio State.
Now, here's the flip side of this. Here's the flip side of this, and this has to do with some of my complaints about the playoff. Which, of course, the playoff will be awesome this year. It will be amazing, and everyone's going to make fun of the points I used to make about how, hey, say what you want about the BCS. It means every regular season game counts. Did you even know, Kenny? Of course you knew. Owen, of course you knew. Mitch probably didn't. The average fan, do they know who's playing this weekend in college football? It's number 2 versus number 4 in the country. That's arguably the biggest game of the year.
I'm drawing a blank.
It's Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay, they're playing at 7:30 on ABC. Number 2 versus number 4. Huge game, right?
Yeah.
Is it a huge game?
Yeah.
What do I mean by that?
Oh, because they'll both go to the playoffs?
This game would have been 30 times more anticipated had you have been the old school BCS or before the BCS.
Oh.
And so, yes, the playoff will be awesome, and you guys can make fun of this very exchange that we are having right now. It'll sound stupid come playoff time, where the playoff will be awesome. Most of the playoff will be awesome. There are going to be some lopsided games where you're going to turn it off, you know, in the second quarter.
I think big is big.
But, man, Georgia and Alabama are playing this weekend, and I don't think it's on the radar to the point that it would be if we didn't have a 12-team playoff.
But I still think it's – I disagree. I think it's early enough in the season. I think it's in the same spot because both those teams are – well, I don't know. DeBoer's a different animal now, so I got to see how that all works out. Because before, you just gave the benefit of Saban. It was the Saban benefit because he had this great big track record. DeBoer has a great big track record of the schools he's been at previously, but I don't think people are paying attention to Sioux Falls State University or wherever he was at before University of Sioux Falls, USF. People weren't paying attention to it like now. Yeah.
But Kenny, these two teams, they could match up again in the SEC championship game. And then, so we are going to come away after this game. There could be an amazing finish. It goes right down to the wire. Mm-hmm. And then what are we going to sit there and say? Let's say Georgia loses. And they should have lost, you know, a few weeks ago. What are we going to say? And say, well, they got a whole season to get their act together. They got a whole season to figure this out. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they can make it to the SEC championship. Lose again. Season's not over. In fact, they'll get another game, and they might get a home game in the playoff. Like, this is the one negative. I don't care what anybody says. This is absolutely the one negative with the 12-team format. Now, turn around and tell me come December, yeah, but look at how cool the playoff is. You'll be right. We are all going to watch the playoff. It'll all be amazing. I just think it undercuts, to me, what was the one difference between college football and all the other sports, which was simply that, man, these games mattered more than anything else. And I don't think tomorrow matters. Saturday matters. I don't think it matters all that much. Might be a preseason game. Might be a preseason game.
Shut up. I think it matters less. It might matter less. Yeah.
Maybe people don't care.
It's hard to argue that now.
You know, what are you not going to watch them when they play again in the SEC Championship? What are you not going to watch them in the playoff? Of course you will.
I'm going to watch them.
The three times in a year thing, I do think that'll get kind of old if that happens. I don't know how often that's actually going to happen.
You know what I didn't realize, though? What I don't like, what I really don't like, and this is based on tradition, Army and Navy are now in the same conference and could possibly play, since they're both undefeated right now, I think. There is a possibility they could play twice in a season.
No.
Yes. Wetzel was talking about that.
What?
There, as of right now, it won't end up that way.
Yeah.
But there is a possibility they could play twice in a season. Yeah. I don't think it's realistic. I would hate it. I would hate that more than I would hate any other rivalry ever. That's a once-a-year thing. You can't put the confetti back in the cannon and do it again the next week. You can't sing second 2 weeks in a row.
Does the president have to come back again?
Yeah, the president's got to be in a lot of places. He can't just, or she, we'll find out.
The president.
Can't just be there.
The president.
It'll still be a heat.
Oh, yeah.
All you do is golf and go to Army Navy.
That would be me if I were president. All you do is play bad golf and then wait for the Army Navy game. Yeah, it's a pretty good gig I got here for 4 years. It's pretty good. Like, I don't know. If I became president, would I actually try to campaign for the next 4 years after? I think I might try to do the James K. Polk and say I'm just going to be president for one term and try to accomplish everything in one term. That's what he did.
Well, okay. It depends how old you are.
Then he died.
It depends how old you are. Like, when you think about how young Clinton and Obama were when they were done, they had so many more years to do whatever. And obviously, not the case with Biden, not the case with Trump.
People are always critical of when the president takes time off. Ever since I was a little kid.
I've never done that, by the
way. You're out golfing. Out golfing. Oh, it's George W. and his golf trips. Oh, Billy Clinton down there playing his golf. It's been that way my whole life.
I also don't care. Here's why I don't care. And you've heard me say horrific things about many political figures. This is one I haven't cared about because... What do you need to be in a physical office? You need to be behind the Resolute desk.
Maybe back in them
at
days
all
you
times.
Did. Maybe back in them days.
Okay, I get you that. Absolutely. Technology today, they could convene a pretty important meeting at any golf course in the country and have a jet there ready to go at any point.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. The thing is, do you want your president burnt out? Do you want your president constantly stressed? You see how much these guys age anyway. Well, I gotta tell you, Donald Trump didn't look that different from start to finish.
I always said that if I were ever president, I'm not president, and I never will be president, but if I was, I wouldn't take a vacation for those 4 years.
Even in Milwaukee for three times a pay?
No, I said it can't be hard to not take a vacation for 4 years as president of the United States. Is that an insane thing to think?
Oh, I think your family would be...
I can send my family wherever for 4 years.
They could go to Kennebunkport along with Mitch's family.
My family can go to Kennebunkport. That was a great place to stop, and I'm sorry about that. I could just send them off, and they could go on vacation. Or I could pop in for the day and then leave.
Yeah, but what would the thought be?
What stopped me from doing
especially,
that?
Let's be honest.
Taxpayer travel. That's right.
But what would people think if, let's just use Trump, for instance, based on the nasty things people say about him and his wife.
What do they say?
If his family went one place and he is not there, and that's supposed to be the vacation... The insinuations are going to be crazy. I think you got to be a family man. Yeah, I mean, as a president of the United States, if you are in a family, you got to be a family man.
Well, if you're trying to stop all criticism, then you probably shouldn't run for president because they're always going to find something to criticize you.
You can't. Couldn't you even win the president in this country if you don't have a family? Can you be a single guy and run for president right now and have a chance to win? I don't think you could. That's like the one thing. You could do a million other things. You could do a lot of bad things.
Who was our last single president?
Millard Fillmore.
Who was our last single president?
Well, and think about it, too. Those presidents got married early.
Well, I think it was Grover Cleveland might have been our last single president. Now we're looking it up. Now there's a hush over the room. This would have been a great place to end the podcast now. I can't do it because I have to get the answer over the air for people. Who's the last single president? Owen's looking.
Do we want people to start using the coming in hot button for our podcast?
Yeah.
Yes, to tell us who the last single president was.
And only for that reason and never again.
Do you think, was it Grover Cleveland to Owen?
Grover Cleveland entered the White House as a bachelor, but married while in office.
Before him,
James Buchanan was a lifelong bachelor and never married.
Is that it?
Okay.
John Tyler, Benjamin Harrison, and Woodrow Wilson's wives died while they were in office.
Well, that doesn't count.
We are looking into the suspects.